The reason we're here today is because BBC news journalists, NUJ members, are on strike and there is no Today programme. Steve Hewlett, media expert, is on the line to maybe explain the issues behind the strike. What is it all about, Steve?
Well, it's about the BBC's pension scheme, at which the management... There is a pension deficit. The BBC is not unusual here. There are pension deficits all over the shop. The BBC management brought forward, I say, proposals. When they first introduced this, they didn't say they were proposals. They said, this is what we're going to do. Now, the thing is, you have to understand what pensions mean to BBC staff. Notwithstanding, you know, 18 million quid for Jonathan Ross and 860,000 for the Director General and an executive board on, you know, £500,000 salaries, the fact is that most working journalists at the BBC are not, by most comparisons, particularly highly paid. And the one thing that, you know, and working journalists at the BBC, you know, feel a degree of commitment to the corporation, give their lives to it in many cases. May sound a bit old-fashioned in these sort of freelance, you know, sort of casualised days, but that's how it is. And the pension is something that people have traditionally seen as, if you like, a compensatory factor for the fact that they don't get treated particularly well and they don't get paid that much.
Is it problematic? So if you
start messing with the pensions, because the BBC pension is, in pension terms, regarded as relatively generous. It's a final salary scheme, etc., etc., etc. Any pensioner will tell you, if you can get into the BBC pension scheme, you do it, because it is really worth having for your sort of old age. So anyway, to put it, it has rather more significance than just any old, you know, terms and conditions.
Mm. I mean, like you say, many businesses are suffering from pension shortfalls, and we're also about to go into a period of massive retrenchment in government spending. Do you think it's good timing for the BBC to be going on strike for their pensions at this point?
Well, even the union?
Yes.
Well, I mean, the slightly odd thing about this is that, you know, the fact is that unlike other terms and conditions where different unions have different terms and conditions, in the case of the pension, all BBC staff who are eligible for it are in it, and the terms and conditions of the pension scheme are the same for all of them, essentially. So it's not really clear to me what the NUJ hope to achieve, given that the BBC can't possibly do a deal with them, that they can't do with everybody else. And while the majority of staff are saying they're accepting it, that's kind of where it'll stop, I suppose. The only thing I would say is that a very senior member of MAT, or a member of senior management, said to me just the other day that he thought that people were leaving BECTU, joining the NUJ, in order to go on strike. So although it's only the NUJ that's on strike, the sense of injustice that NUJ members feel is genuinely felt across the whole of the staff.
Steve, I've got John Plunkett here alongside me, radio correspondent for media.guardian.co.uk. I did an extra dot for no reason. John.
Steve, yeah, I guess the interesting thing now will be to see how BBC management cope with a skeleton staff and what kind of new service they can put up across their TV and radio. I heard today on Radio 4 we had a brief news bulletin where the Today programme would be, and then I think it was Ian Hislop on Lord Kitchener, which was certainly a change to the normal schedule.
A pre-recorded programme, I think you might find.
That's right. And I think we can expect a few of those over the next 48 hours.
Yeah, indeed, one you may have heard before.
Yes. How do you think, what will they regard as a success in management terms? Is it that sort of hourly news bulletin? If they can keep that going, they'll think it's a job well done, considering that the vast majority of journalists aren't in work.
I guess so. And the other thing is, I mean, they are running a skeleton service of sorts on Five Live, I think. But you'll find that it's the controller and the deputy controller who are doing the fixing.
And the intrigue in this.
There is a slight touch of, you know, back to the floor, or, you know, undercover boss about it there. One upside of this might be that the very senior managers are now discovering just how difficult it is to do some of these jobs, and just, you know, because it is pretty hard work. But look, I mean, what will these regard as success? Well, they'll just hope to get through it. I mean, it's not pretty, is it? And, you know, it's not. And then, you know, the other thing is, I think that the very senior management feel that, you know, if it gets to the point where the public start to feel that they have to decide which side they're on at the moment, that won't happen today, but if this goes on for weeks or months, eventually people are going to start dividing over it. The management feel that the staff will ultimately be the losers here, because when the rest of the nation sees the true generosity of the BBC's pension scheme, that they would automatically side with the management rather than, especially in terms of, you know, generalised austerity, they'd be more likely to sort of side with the BBC and then may even start objecting to their licence fees being spent on these pension benefits I'm not sure that's necessarily true, because the thing that's really upset people is not so much the proposals themselves, which are upsetting enough. Remember, retrospective reductions in pension entitlement, things that people think they've already paid for and already earned. It's the manner in which the management have done it. It's just really upset people.
Which raises the issue of the BBC management to the fore once again. Steve, thank you very much for taking the time to talk to us this morning.